All right, so have you ever noticed how, like, in all those police procedural shows, they always have some rule about who can be on the force? Like, maybe a character wants to transfer from a different state, but there's a residency requirement or something
Oh,
like
yeah, right. Those kinds of rules, they definitely make for some good TV drama. But
that.
out here in the real world, those rules have some pretty serious legal implications.
Yeah, exactly. And today we're going deep on a case that really gets right to the heart of that question: who gets to be a cop? It's Foley v. Connolly. It's from 1978, and it all started with this guy, Edmund Foley. He was an Irish immigrant who wanted nothing more than to be a New York State trooper. He was a lawful permanent resident and everything totally on track for citizenship. But back then, New York had this rule. You had to be a U.S. citizen to be a trooper. So they basically shut him down, even though, like, by all accounts, he was totally qualified. Seems kind of harsh, don't you think? I mean, he's here legally, wants to serve his community.
Yeah, it does seem a little counterintuitive on the surface, and that's exactly why Foley challenged the rule. He claimed that it violated his rights under the 14th Amendment, specifically the Equal Protection Clause.
Okay, so time to break this down for everybody listening.
Sure.
We've got the Equal Protection Clause, which is all about preventing discrimination, and then we've got this New York law that seems to be doing exactly that.
Right.
So, what did the court think about all of this?
Well, it's actually not as straightforward as you might think. When the court is trying to decide if a law is violating the Equal Protection Clause, they actually use different levels of scrutiny.
Like strict scrutiny. That's where the government has to have like a really airtight reason to discriminate, right? Like it's got to be something super important.
You got it. And then there's what's called rational basis, which is kind of a lower bar. The government just needs some kind of logical reason. It doesn't have to be a slam dunk.
So I would think that denying someone a job just based on their citizenship, that would like automatically trigger that stricter scrutiny, wouldn't you think?
You would think so, but there's this exception.
Oh, great.
It's called the political function exception. And that's where things get kind of interesting.
Okay, political function exception. Now you're just using fancy legal terms to make my head spin.
What is that all about?
Basically, what it boils down to is this: the Supreme Court has said that some jobs are so closely tied to like the inner workings of government, things like national security voting setting policies, that citizenship can be a deciding factor in those cases.
So I'm starting to see how this might play out here. But okay, let me get this straight. Voting, you got to be a citizen. That's a political function. But what about something like getting a driver's license?
Yeah, that's a good example. Driving is important, of course, but it's not really seen as like a core function of government in the same way that voting is. It's more about safety and regulations, not so much shaping national policy.
And so in Foley's case, the court basically said that being a state trooper, that falls under that political function exception.
So they're saying police work is so fundamental to the government that citizenship basically becomes like a requirement.
That's the core of it. Yeah. Chief Justice Berger, he wrote the majority opinion, and he really emphasized that police officers, they have a lot of authority, right? They enforce laws, they represent the power of the state, their actions can directly impact people's lives. He even wrote that police work affects the most sensitive areas of daily life.
Oh, wow. That's a pretty strong statement.
Yeah.
So they're basically worried about whoever has that power needs to share our values,
Yeah.
be loyal to the U.S.
Exactly. They argued that requiring citizenship would ensure some kind of shared understanding of those values and accountability to the American people.
But hold on a second. Someone must disagree with this, right?
Of course.
Like, couldn't you argue that troopers, they just enforce the laws, they don't actually make them? Seems like a pretty big difference.
You're right. There were actually some pretty strong dissenting opinions in this case. And Justice Marshall, he brought up that exact point.
So what was his issue with the New York law and with how the majority was interpreting it?
Well, for starters, he thought the court was being way too broad in how they were applying this political function exception. He didn't think requiring citizenship for state troopers was actually necessary to achieve like the state's goals.
So if it's not about citizenship, then what did he think was a better way to make sure that officers are loyal and share American values?
Well, Marshall believed that the existing screening process for state troopers, you know, things like background checks, psychological evaluations, all that rigorous training, he thought that was already enough to weed out any bad apples.
That makes sense. I mean, those measures are designed to figure out someone's character and if they're right for the job, regardless of, you know, whether they're a citizen or not.
Right. And he argued that focusing only on citizenship as like a stand-in for loyalty and trustworthiness was discriminatory, and it overlooked all the contributions that qualified non-citizens could make.
Interesting point. Makes you wonder if citizenship really is the best way to measure those qualities, huh?
It's a complex issue, and Marshall's dissent, it really shines a light on those complexities.
Yeah.
He believed that we shouldn't underestimate the dedication and the commitment that non-citizens can bring to public service jobs.
So we've got Marshall pushing back against this broad interpretation of the political function exception. Were there any other dissenting opinions that stood out?
Absolutely. Justice Stevens, joined by Justice Brennan, also wrote a really powerful dissent.
Okay.
They took a slightly different approach.
Mm.
They focused on the idea of democratic participation.
Now, I'm really curious, how did democratic participation fit into their argument?
They basically flipped the script on the majority's reasoning.
What do you mean?
Well, instead of seeing this exclusion of non-citizens as a way to protect democratic values, they argued that it actually weakened those values.
So by keeping non-citizens out of these roles, you're preventing them from fully participating in and contributing to American society.
Exactly. Stevens and Brennan, they believe that excluding qualified people simply because they weren't citizens sent the message that their contributions didn't matter, which they saw as going against the principles of like a truly inclusive democracy.
That's a compelling argument.
Okay.
It really challenges us to think about how our laws and policies either encourage or hinder inclusivity and civic engagement.
Right. And their dissent also highlighted something really important.
What's that?
That in a democracy, the power ultimately lies with the people, the citizens.
Really?
And those citizens, they elect representatives to make laws and set policies. So are they saying then that since police officers are tasked with enforcing those laws, they aren't actually shaping policy themselves?
That's right. Stevens and Brennan argue that this distinction meant the political function exception shouldn't apply to state troopers.
Mm.
They felt like the majority was stretching that definition of political function a little too far.
Wow. So this case was far from a clear-cut decision.
Not all.
It really sparked some serious debate about the very nature of police work citizenship and what it means to participate in a democracy.
Absolutely. And as we've seen, those debates are still very much alive today. Foley v. Connolly didn't settle the issue. It just provided a framework for future courts to kind of wrestle with these complex questions.
And that framework, with its focus on, you know, core government functions, that's been applied to cases involving other professions too, right? Like beyond just law enforcement.
You've got it's been cited in cases about teachers, firefighters, even public notaries.
Wow.
And the outcomes, they haven't always been consistent. So there's still a lot of ambiguity when it comes to applying this political function exception.
Definitely. What counts as a core government function isn't always obvious, and courts have struggled to like clearly define those boundaries.
Man, this is making me really think about my own assumptions about, you know, who should be eligible for certain jobs.
Yeah.
It's easy to take those assumptions for granted, but this case really shows us how much is at stake.
It's a good reminder that these legal decisions, they have real-world consequences for individuals and for our society as a whole.
So even though Foley v. Connolly was about this state trooper wanting to wear a badge, its legacy reaches far beyond that.
It really does.
Shaping how we think about citizenship belonging and like the right to contribute to our communities.
And it underscores the importance of engaging in these discussions with nuance and an open mind, recognizing the complexity of the issues at hand.
So we've been like really digging deep into Foley v. Connolly and how it kind of drew this line in the sand about citizenship being like a must-have for those core government functions.
Right. And we've touched on how the court really grappled with defining, you know, what exactly that means and how the dissenting opinions really pushed back on that majority view.
And as you mentioned, this case, it's still super relevant today.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just think about all the conversations we're having now about immigration and like who gets to be a part of American society.
Absolutely. I mean, Foley was decided way back in 78.
Right.
And back then, the whole political landscape around immigration was just very different.
Yeah, it definitely wasn't as charged as it is now. And
oh,
like,
no.
Today, you've got a whole generation of DACA recipients.
Right.
Who are brought here as kids. They built lives here, but they still don't have a clear path to citizenship.
Yeah. And that's where things get really interesting because a lot of these individuals, they want to serve their communities.
Right.
They want to become teachers, police officers, firefighters, but their legal status can be a real barrier.
So Foley v. Connolly becomes like this really important precedent, right?
It does.
If certain jobs are just off limits because they're considered so crucial to how the government works, then where does that leave folks who are here legally but aren't citizens?
It's a real dilemma, isn't it?
It is.
They're told to assimilate, contribute, be a part of the fabric of America, but then they're shut out of these roles just because of their citizenship status.
It's like a total catch-22.
Yeah.
And it's not just DACA recipients either.
Right.
You have legal permanent residents who have like gone through this long process to live and work here legally. Should they be automatically excluded from serving their communities in these particular professions?
Well, it forces us to kind of examine our own assumptions about what it really means to be American and who gets to have a say in shaping our society.
And it makes you think about the potential consequences of taking this whole political function exception too far.
Yeah.
Like, if we keep applying it to more and more jobs, are we creating a system where non-citizens are essentially second class?
It's a valid concern. Mm-hmm. We don't want to create a society where people are judged solely on whether or not they have a U.S. passport instead of, you know, their actual skills, qualifications, their commitment to their community.
Right. And I think that's like one of the biggest takeaways from Foley.
Yeah.
It reminds us that we need to be really careful about where we draw the lines.
Mm.
We got to balance legitimate concerns about national security and protecting democratic processes with these values of inclusivity and equal opportunity.
And that's why this case, it continues to spark debate.
Yeah.
It pushes us to grapple with these tough questions and to consider the long-term impact of our decisions. You know, it's not just a theoretical discussion. It has real-world consequences for real people.
Absolutely. Foley v. Connolly.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just about some state trooper wanting to wear a badge. It's about what it means to belong, to contribute, to be a part of American society.
It's a case that encourages us to think critically, to challenge our own biases, and to advocate for policies that reflect both the letter and the spirit of the law.
Well said. It's a conversation that needs to happen. And Foley provides a really powerful framework for that conversation.
It certainly does. And I think as we wrap up our deep dive on this case, it's worth circling back to those dissenting opinions for a moment.
Okay.
You know, we talked about how they disagreed with the majority's reasoning.
Right.
But they also offered some pretty interesting alternatives.
Right. Like Justice Marshall's argument that the existing screening processes for law enforcement, they were robust enough to ensure loyalty and trustworthiness regardless of citizenship.
Exactly. He felt that focusing solely on citizenship was kind of a superficial way to address those concerns, and it actually hindered the potential contributions of qualified non-citizens.
And then you had Justices Stevens and Brennan, who really focused on the importance of democratic participation.
Right.
They argued that excluding non-citizens from these roles actually weakened our democracy.
They believed it sent a message that non-citizens' contributions weren't valued and that it contradicted, you know, these principles of inclusivity and equal opportunity.
Those are really powerful points.
Yeah.
It's not just about, you know, whether or not someone can hold a specific job.
Yeah.
It's about how we create a society where everyone feels like they belong.
Right.
And have a stake in the game.
Exactly. And I think those dissenting opinions, they offer valuable insights for navigating this really complex terrain, you know?
Yeah.
They remind us that there are alternative approaches out there and that we need to be open to solutions that promote both security and inclusivity.
So even though the majority ruled against Foley in this case,
mm-hmm.
those dissenting voices, they continue to resonate today.
They do.
Especially as we're grappling with these questions of immigration belonging and like who gets to shape the future of our country.
Absolutely.
You know, it's kind of crazy how a case from like almost 50 years ago can still feel so relevant today.
It really does speak to the enduring power of these fundamental questions, right?
Yeah.
About citizenship, belonging, the role of government. Foley v. Connolly. It really tapped into something that continues to resonate with us.
And you know, I think those dissenting opinions that we talked about, they play a big part in that, too.
Yeah.
They force us to confront some, like, uncomfortable truths about how our society operates.
They challenge us to move beyond these simplistic solutions and really, like, grapple with the complexity of these issues, right?
Yeah.
It's not about finding easy answers. It's about engaging in this thoughtful debate and considering the long-term implications of our choices.
It's about recognizing that these legal decisions, they have like real impact on people's lives.
Yeah, you know? Yeah.
We can't just dismiss them as like abstract concepts.
Right.
They shape opportunities, they influence perceptions, and they ultimately define who gets to be a part of the American story.
And that's especially crucial, I think, in today's world,
yeah,
where we're seeing this rise in anti-immigrant sentiment and a narrowing definition of what it means to be American.
It feels like Foley v. Connolly. Mm. It kind of provides us with a cautionary tale.
Yeah.
A reminder that we need to be super vigilant about protecting the rights of all individuals, mm-hmm, regardless of their citizenship status.
It reminds us that inclusivity and equal opportunity, they're not just like lofty ideals.
Right.
They're essential components of a healthy democracy.
Mm-hmm.
When we create barriers based on, you know, arbitrary criteria like citizenship, we weaken the fabric of our society.
So what can we do, like, as individuals to ensure that those values are actually upheld?
Mm.
It can feel overwhelming sometimes, right?
It can.
Like, these big systemic issues are just totally beyond our control.
Well, I think awareness is like the first step.
Okay.
Educating ourselves about these issues, understanding the historical context, and recognizing how these legal precedents, they continue to shape our world.
Right.
That's crucial.
And then using that knowledge to engage in those meaningful conversations,
mm-hmm,
challenging our own biases,
yeah,
advocating for policies that promote inclusivity and fairness.
Right.
We can support organizations that are working to advance immigrant rights.
Okay.
We can contact our elected officials to, you know, express our concerns and hold them accountable for creating a more just and equitable society. It's about recognizing that we all have a role to play in shaping the future that we want to see.
Right.
We can't just sit back and wait for other people to fix things.
No. Nope.
It requires active participation from all of us.
And I think that's like the most important lesson that we can take away from Foley v. Connolly.
What's that?
It's a call to action.
Okay.
A reminder that the pursuit of justice and equality, it's an ongoing process. It demands our constant attention and effort.
Well said. This deep dive into Foley v. Connolly has been incredibly insightful.
Yeah, it's been great.
It's challenged my assumptions, it's broadened my understanding, and it's definitely left me with a lot to think about.
Well, I think that's the power of a good deep dive, right?
Yeah.
It's about going beyond the surface, exploring the nuances, and emerging with a renewed sense of curiosity and a desire to learn more.
Absolutely. And I hope our listeners feel the same way.
Me too.
Thanks for joining us on this journey. And we'll be back next week with another fascinating topic to explore.